You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. In this week's episode, Danny and Brittany continue their series on singles and talk about Kylo principle number 3, pursuing the goal of connection. You'll learn how friendships are actually the best practice ground for preparing you for a relationship with your spouse. So, if you want friends and a spouse, or you have them and want to keep them, this episode's for you, and it starts right now.
Hello, everybody. So excited that you're here with us on The Kylo Show.
We're back.
We are, again, every week. We're here for you. Yes. That's what we're doing. But it feels like it's been a crazy little season of life.
It is. Well, you know, you can blow smoke rings just sitting in the park here.
Yes, it is a little crazy what's going on with us, but school started as well. Mm-hmm. I think there's just so much happening. It kind of feels like a swirl of activity.
It's re-engage the mechanism time.
Yeah, schedule's back on it. It's awesome. I love that part of going back to school.
Morning traffic is back.
I don't love that.
That's a problem.
Oh, well. Yeah. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No.
We are going to keep talking about singles, and we are going to dive into kind of the goal of connection with singles.
Yes.
Which is fun. And, you know, of course, we're trying to make sure we hit our 5 Kylo principles. Mm-hmm. So, as always, be powerful, choose love over fear, pursue the goal of connection, practice respectful communication, yep, and honor healthy boundaries.
Here we go.
So
it's like a key in a lock. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yeah. Heard lots of really fun things. People love the 5 principles. So yeah, we're just going to keep talking about them.
Let's keep pumping them out there because it frames it so helpful.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. So the singles, we've been diving in after that. And really, this episode, we were kind of talking about just the goal of connection and what really aspect that means. Mm-hmm. And you were saying friendship is really kind of diving into how to have and find community and friendships.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to think that you're a whole healthy person, mm-hmm, and have no relationships.
Yes.
And like, okay, well, that's a delusion, you know, because the way that you test whether you're healthy and you have a peace in your life is interacting with other human beings, some of which don't have that.
Yeah.
So how does that affect you? And that's all done through friendships. That's, mm-hmm, all done in, you know, just being around people that you enjoy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the practicing of having strong, healthy friendships really translates to strong, healthy marriage. Because I would say that my closest friend is Ben. Mm-hmm. And we really did develop a friendship first before anything else. Mm-hmm. But I think that is such a huge key element of just success in marriage translates to being a successful friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And I realize that single people are not necessarily holding up the goal of marriage. Most are, I would say. But it's less about here's how you have a successful marriage as much as it is here's how you become a whole healthy person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously you want to find another one. If you're going to pursue a wedding, then, yeah, you want to find another whole healthy person that knows how to do what you know how to do. Mm-hmm. And that is best practice in your community, your friendship circles. Yeah, sometimes with your family as well. I mean, sometimes that is your friendship
circle, yeah.
Your friendship. Mm-hmm. I think that the living out of developing a soul tie, you know, I realize soul ties got a bad rap in the 90s. You know, everybody had to break soul ties and unhealthy soul tie this and unhealthy. Well, that's great. That's true. Break all those suckers off,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. But the healthy soul tie didn't get much front page news, and I'm not sure why, but that's the one you want to get good at. Mm-hmm. You want to get good at knitting your heart with other people and protecting that and drawing life and nourishment from that. And that's the successful engaging of healthy soul ties in your friendship circles is the skill necessary to make a covenant with a spouse.
Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, I think back to even friendship practice comes from the very beginning of learning how to share. You know, back in your preschool days or toddler stage of life, you know, the practice of, you know, don't say anything that is hurtful, you know.
Do unto others.
All of those things. But it feels like it's trying to help guide you to how to have a healthy relationship and friendship, which you said soul tie, which when I hear that, I think of covenant relationships.
Yeah.
You know, a covenant friendship, one that, you know, I'm willing to lay my life down for, and they're willing and able to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and what is it? How do you build that? How do you create and develop and chase after? What are the indications of, like, okay, this is a healthy soul tie. This is a, you know, covenant relationship. So what does that look like when you boil it down?
Well, that would be one of the reasons we keep popping the five principles out there, right? You know, it's like, okay, who can you practice this with? Who will agree to be a powerful person themselves and focus on controlling themselves instead of trying to control you as a friend? I mean, that would be tip one, is can that friend manage themselves, be supportive, and maybe give some good input and that sort of thing, but not controlling, not manipulative, not emotionally punishing, not threatening to discard the relationship because they didn't get their way, not, you know, all about them. There's all these things that you want to check off in your friendships, because the health of your friendship circle is really a mirror for you. Mm. You know, you want to see how you're doing. Look at your friends you've picked. Look at the people you're attracting. Look at what you participate in and tolerate. How high is the disrespect level?
Yeah, that's good.
How high is the personal responsibility level? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a indicator for you of how you personally are doing. And if you're the healthiest person in your friend group, you're in trouble. You've surrounded yourself with a low-grade infection. And so surround yourself with people that are leading in health, leading in emotional maturity, leading in spiritual maturity. Surround yourself with champions so that you're constantly growing and being called up. If you're the most mature, healthy person in your friend circle, you're failing.
It does seem like a good way to gauge the, you know, what am I, when you say that, I really actually think about, you know, you become the rescuer in a lot of ways. Like, that's how you develop this role of a rescuer.
And you're the expert. You're the one who probably doesn't do feedback very well. You're the one who is right.
Yeah.
And that's just a terrible habit to get into, is being the person that doesn't adjust.
When I look at all the different friendships I've had in my life and thinking about ones that felt like covenant relationships, I think of two seasons, probably my teenage years, you know, which are
high school.
Learning how to, you know, have those, really have boundaries to begin with and not be pressured into, you know, going astray from what I believe to be true. You know, and I remember having one friend who was lived a very different lifestyle than I did, drugs, alcohol, all of that. And then one who was, you know, on the leadership team at youth group, and really the paying attention to, did I adjust and change in those different friendships because I was around, you know. And I think that that's just like another mirror, like you're saying, of how do you adjust and change who you are based off of who you're around?
Yeah. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. And here you go. This is if you surround yourself with folks that are less mature, more immature than you, then you, that better be a classroom. You know, I mean, that better be a group of people you understand. These are not my peers. These are people I'm leading. So if you're going to have a friend circle, it can't be a group of people that you're, it can't be your classroom.
Yeah.
It has to actually be people that are supportive, are on a similar level and playing as you. And hopefully you have some people that are, you're learning a lot of stuff from.
You know, I think somewhere in the many sermons I've sat under in my lifetime, I don't know who said it. It may have been you.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I can't remember. But someone gave the analogy of community and covenant relationships looking somewhat like a pond that, you know, there should be an inflow and there should be, you know, kind of the big pond that you're swimming with a bunch of people. And then
I'm sure I stole this analogy at some point.
Probably. You know, I don't know where it came from originally, but I've always thought about that when I'm in a different group of people or in a different season of my life of, okay, who is pouring into me? And, you know, that's not usually a massive river necessarily. It's just, it might be a more narrow creek leading in or a steady stream. And then my big pond of, okay, my peers that I'm running with, I'm doing different things with that I, you know, look to feedback for or companionship or different things. And then who am I serving and who am I giving to from this place that I'm receiving in? But that's always been kind of a gauge for me as to, am I checking off those boxes? Because for me, it feels like this is a good check, you know, of I'm doing these things that the Lord, you know, receiving feedback, participating, and then giving away.
And usually when you're around friends, everyone has their strengths and everyone has their weaknesses.
Yes.
And so we're all pouring into each other or offering to pour in and then drawing from each other. And it makes us stronger as a whole. And I mean, I have friends that are really good at machinery or mechanics or finances or vacationing. You know, they're just way better at me than me, and they're like, "Oh, that's a good idea. I should do that more." And I often get called in on the relational side of things, like, "What are we going to do with this situation?"
Yeah.
And so we're all, you know, we're all pulling from each other. I think that pond analogy, I think I heard it as everyone needs a Paul in their life, everyone needs a Barnabas, and everyone needs a Timothy. And so you put yourself in situations where you have that receive, support, give kind of flow in your relationships, and it keeps you humble and it keeps you activated.
Yeah. Which I love that analogy. I think it's always kind of helped me gauge as to, am I doing a good job on really stewarding what the Lord said, which is surrounding yourself with people that are going to, you know, push you, challenge you, bring empathy and compassion in front of you, and have fun with. I think that's the other part is, you know, having fun with these friends that you are, you know, as a place of enjoyment that you're, you know, sharpening each other, staying hungry. You know, we just read that book, and I think, you know, creating communities that want to grow together is a great practice. You know, finding people that are wanting to better their lives in different ways, I think, is usually a really great indicator of some. That's what I look for when I think of friendships.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to build a team, any team, you should find people that are better than you. You know, if you want to build a company, if you want to build a sports team, you want whatever, find players, find people that do things better than you. And in friends, you know, you find people that are doing life better than you are and keep them close and learn and grow and change.
Yeah. I often, I reference the seven pillars all the time in parenting, in relationship, in marriage. I do it all the time, which if you don't know what that is, Keep Your Love On, the book, it's in there. Those are really great. But I think those are just a beautiful foundational thing to look at as how is this looking in my friendships? Mm-hmm. How am I doing in activating these, participating in them, leading in them? I mean, how does this looking? So, I mean, we got to go into questions soon, but
yeah, and that whole kind of seven pillars is from Proverbs, that wisdom is hewn out her seven pillars, and it's that unconditional love and acceptance foundation with each of these pillars, which is love, self-control, responsibility. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if I remember them all. Honors in there.
Yeah.
And then it's holding up the roof of joy, hope, and peace. Mm. So if you want to keep that in your life, you got to have these pillars. And yeah. if they start sagging, that's, you know, what it costs you is your mm. joy, hope, and peace.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. It's a great analogy. Again, I love it. I've always loved it. So if you're looking for some good guidelines,
yep. get good at the seven pillars.
Yeah. That's the way to go. Yeah. So awesome. Love it. Okay. Singles, go find some great community and friends. That's what this
build some healthy soul mm-hmm. ties.
That's it. Healthy mm-hmm. soul ties. Yes. It's back. Soul ties are back for the win.
Come on.
And, but next we're going to jump into questions. So that should be fun.
Awesome.
We witnessed the toll this past year and a half has had on marriages, especially those who are newly married. That's why Loving on Purpose is hosting the Young Marrieds Workshop. This workshop is going to be hosted by Danny and Sherry Silk, along with Ben and Brittany Serple. It's for couples who've been married 10 years or less, and they're going to bring a whole lot of strength and a bunch of guidance so that you can go from feeling like you're stuck to growing in connection and intimacy in your marriage. And if you want to learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to Danny or Brittany's social media pages and click the link in the bio now.
All right. So we're going to take some questions.
Awesome.
And I just want to remind all of you out there, if you have questions or testimonies, we'd love for you to share them. Make sure you go to thekyloshow.com to submit your questions because we love answering them.
Yes.
So the first one we have today comes from Aaron.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. My name is Aaron. I am from Houston, Texas. My question is on the topic of needs and connection, specifically when you're in whether it be a romantic relationship or a relationship with anybody, how do you actually learn how to identify what are needs that you can ask of the other person and what are quote unquote God spot needs, and learning how to differentiate those two so you're not putting a burden on somebody that they actually can't carry, but also learning how to not be afraid to ask for those needs either. So would love to hear y'all's feedback. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Great question.
It was. I liked it.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the God spot, and I feel like this is a lot of people ask this question of what needs can I give? What, and then how do I even find what needs I have? And mm-hmm. I always say, sometimes I have hard time finding my needs, but it's usually because there's a lot of emotions. I chalk it up to being a woman, but I think
trying to narrow it down to one.
Just one.
I need it all. I need it all of it, all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. But I love, Ben always says, you know, what do you need to feel? And I think that's a valid thing to bring into most relationships of needing to feel something from this person. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can be given away what needs are the Lord's to fulfill. And I think a lot of those come from your identity mm-hmm. more so if you're trying to fulfill and answer the question of who you are through a person. Mm-hmm. That will never happen.
I need to feel like a meaningful, a purposeful person.
Yeah.
And you're not meeting that need. Okay, that's how you fry the circuits of a human, mm-hmm. is that you've gone after them for your meaning in life.
Right.
Or your peace, or your joy even. Mm-hmm. Your joy is your job. Your hope is your job. It's for you and the Lord to work out. But very much so, it would be, what do you need to feel in our relationship, or what do you need to feel when I'm around? Mm-hmm. And that's different than, this is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say, well, here's my needs. I need you to cook dinner on time, I need you to pick up your stuff. I need you to be home when you say you're going to be home. You're like, all right, those are ways to control another human being because you actually want to feel something.
Yeah.
So if I did those things, what would you feel? I would feel respected.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel supported. I would feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. That's what you communicate is what is the experience that you're wanting in the relationship? And there's a need hiding in there. Mm-hmm. And how do you communicate that without turning it into, I would like control of you so I can protect myself from you?
Yeah. You know, I think also how you get there, if you don't have someone that you can bounce those things off of and have a dialogue with maybe before you present those needs, is to think through them in your head, to visualize this conversation and you saying, I need you to make dinner on time, or I need you to, you know, whatever. Okay, why did I say that? What is it that I'm looking for? To kind of analyze yourself and if you can get to actually what you're needing in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Dahl has this great message about kind of meditating and visualizing on a conversation before you get there, so you can actually bring your best self to the conversation instead of all the anxiety of, I'm going to have this conversation, I'm going to confront this person, give them my needs, you know. So I think that might be a good practice to try. And, you know, again, be welcome to feedback if you didn't do it correctly. You might need some practice there.
Yeah, and it is going to be a back and forth. It's going to be, how'd that go? That went great. So I'm going to put, I need to feel connected in my pocket. I'm going to use it again.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to touch me more. I need you to sit and listen to me. I need you. These are all ways of saying, I need to feel loved.
Yeah.
I need to feel connected. But I'm trying to describe to you activity.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say, well, what would help you feel loved? I don't know. And then there you go. Then you can throw out some ideas. But even in that case, sometimes people just don't want to think about it. Like, well, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Well, no, you'll do it and it won't feel like what I was after because A, it was my idea, not your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And B, the way you did it was so lame and I just kind of irritated.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think Ben and I love to use the feeling wheel, which you could Google. I mean, there's a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, if you don't know how to get to your feelings, like I need to feel, start somewhere. Like it's loved might be one category, but then it breaks down and breaks down and breaks down to finding different words, vocabulary words. Mm-hmm. We're expanding your vocabulary in that. So that's a good place
to. Yeah. And to say, you know, I need to feel joy as a human and I'm expecting you to give it to me is different than saying I need to enjoy our time together.
Yeah.
And that's super important. I mean, that's really how you build attachment and bond is through experiencing joy. But you're not my source of joy, but I do need to enjoy our time together.
Yeah, that's true. Great question. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Aaron. All right, the next one comes from Gracie.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. My name is Gracie. And first, I just want to say thanks so much for doing the Kylo Show. I have just found it super helpful and I have learned so much just how you guys tackle real-time questions and problems. And with that being said, I do have a question. So I am a single woman and I have a lot of friends that are guys and then we'll get close. We have, you know, we have a good friendship and it's just platonic. But then when they get a significant other, the relationship just significantly changes and it just feels like I've been ghosted. So like, for example, like I recently had a friend who started dating a girl and then, you know, I'll reach out to him because we're supposed to be friends. And, then he tells me that he can't talk to me anymore because his significant other doesn't like it. And it just felt very childish. And again, I am not interested in pursuing a romantic relationship with this person. It's just completely platonic, but it's just such a bummer that I don't get to, you know, that the relationship has to change a ton like that and that I won't get to have this close friend of mine. So I was just hoping that you could share some wisdom with me and help me figure out how to navigate the situation.
Great question.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
You know, I think... I mean, you kind of move. I always think of the circles, the boundary circles, you know, you kind of get moved out and it's a hard door in the face kind of moment. Like I was just in there, you know, yeah. I was someone you trusted and you gave pieces of your life to and your heart. And we had this agreement and now someone else is in there.
Siblings and parents experience this, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, hey, where are you? Where'd you go? What the heck? You're not answering my calls. Why are you texting instead of talking to me? I go, I got this new person in my life, and I have no spare time. And so I'm just totally consumed with what I'm hoping to create as my primary intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And that really does affect everybody around him. Mm-hmm. Friends everywhere are saying, where'd you go?
Yeah.
And then when they finally meet this girl, they're like, oh, that's where you went.
That's what happened.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
I do think there will be a competitive nature to a opposite gender friend in your life. And mm-hmm. It probably has a lot to do with learning to befriend the other person.
Yeah.
Because their anxiety is a little high when they see you as having a deeper relationship with this person they're mm-hmm. interested in than they do, or I have to catch up to you or whatever. How about if I just kink the hose and ghost you? I like that word. I'm just going to ghost you, and I'll catch up much faster without you being around at all. Mm-hmm. And I can see that like, okay, well, is there a way that I can meet her? Is there a way that I can build a friendship with her, and that might help reduce some of the anxiety.
Totally. That's what I was thinking of. I remember, I mean, I was on the other end of it. I was the one.
Ghosting.
Well, I was Ben started dating me, and he was good friends with a young woman, and they'd done youth stuff together and played in the band type of thing together, and there was some insecurity in me of like, I don't really know this person, but I know that you are pursuing me and she's a she, and I don't know how I feel about this. Yeah. And so I think really what happened was pursuing a relationship and, you know, getting to know her and seeing that, okay, this isn't a threat of someone that's trying to take something mm-hmm. from me, you know, and having to navigate the balance of, okay, you've been friends longer than I've been friends with Ben, but I want to make sure that I'm still a priority. So I think the pursuit of the relationship to gain understanding, to develop trust in the relationship is a great position to take if that's available. And if not, you know, that's where you have the hard conversations of like, has this relationship changed? And do I have to have a different conversation of needs and with your friend who's was ghosting you, you know, you have to figure out what the levels.
Yeah, it's going to change. I mean, it's going to change.
Expectations, all those things.
Yeah, time, energy, mm-hmm. priority, it's all going to change. Because prior to having an intimate, exclusive relationship, I didn't have a boundary here.
Yeah.
I just had a friend, you know, and then when I start preparing my life for potentially a future with this person, I have to communicate priority to mm-hmm. this relationship to everybody around me, male or female friend. It's like, I'm, you know, I can't just hang out with you all the time. I can't mm-hmm. just drop everything and be there with you. I have this other priority, and it's something I'm going to protect.
Yeah. Which is a good thing in the long run.
Well, it's smart.
It's very smart. You know,
but it hurts.
It can be painful. It can be very painful. So, Gracie, we'll be praying that you can navigate this and that it goes well for that friendship. So, good question, though. All right. Our next question comes from Emmanuel.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you so much for doing the Kylo show. I do have a question I'd like to ask you. I'm in my late 30s. And I've been single for a long time. I do have a desire to marry the woman of my dreams, and I do not want to settle. There are times when the feeling of loneliness overtake me, and I start believing the lies of the enemy, such as I won't find the woman of my dreams, and I'm too old to marry and build a future. Now, what can I do whenever I start feeling this way?
Very common question.
Yeah.
A very common situation. Maybe Emmanuel doesn't realize that you can be married and have the same feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you can be sorry that you're in this relationship. You can, so it's probably less about that feeling than it is, what do I do with feeling like that? Mm-hmm. It's less about my circumstances and it's more about how do I manage feeling lonely or feeling disconnected or feeling
hopeless.
Sad,
yeah.
You know? And that's probably the solution's in that, and it's really about how do I access hope? How do I access joy? How do I access peace mm-hmm. in my relationship with God primarily? Yeah. This is a muscle that you exercise mm-hmm. by while you're single, for sure, you would want to be able to process that depth of emotion with the Lord and get good at asking Him to comfort you and to point you in a way to adjust. And then hopefully there are relationships where you can draw strength and you can draw support from people just by letting them know where you are and how you're doing and getting their input.
Yeah, I think it's really the same thing as, you know, being married and struggling and being frustrated or feeling lonely or disappointed, you know, in your dreams or expectations. I think this, you know, just as any friends or even myself have been in that place, it's more the feeling, what am I going to do with this
mm-hmm.
powerless feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I going to do to go back to the source of truth and the best encouragement that I could possibly find,
mm-hmm.
Which is that relationship with the Lord. And then going to my healthy community and saying I'm struggling with these thoughts or you know, staying complacent or giving into to what these lies say that are real, because this feels real. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels overwhelming. It feels hopeless. But I think that is a great place to just, you know, develop, because you're going to face this in your marriage someday and in having children and, you know, maybe all different relationships. It's not just for singles that experience loneliness. And
this is a human condition.
Yeah. So I think just running to the Lord is the best place that you could go, Emmanuel,
mm-hmm.
for sure. So, well, those were great questions. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks again so much for the questions, and don't forget to give us some more. But we're going to jump into the testimony part.
Great. So, it
should be fun.
You didn't already hear the news? Danny and Sherry Silk, along with Ben and Brittany Serple, are going to host a Young Marrieds workshop. So if you feel like the honeymoon stage of your marriage has been slapped off of you and you want to get back to a connected, joy-filled marriage, then click the link in the show notes or go to Danny or Brittany's social media pages and click the link in the bio now.
All right, so we're going to jump into testimonies. Testimony time. It's always so fun to hear what people
are doing,
it's changed their life. It's always, always encouraging. All right, so this week's testimony comes from Isaiah.
Heyo, just wanted to pop on here, share my testimony. My name's Isaiah. I'm a 34-year-old single man from Northern California. I guess let me start with saying that my last season during COVID lockdown, as we all had went through it, but that I had exposed a lot in me of what I was truly operating out of. And that was a lot of just this place of subconsciously out of shame and my relationship of shame, of rather than actually, you know, this place of purpose and love and generally just keeping my love on towards specifically myself and letting that overflow in what I do and in my relationships and whatnot. But long story short, my position and my job was non-essential. Therefore, I couldn't work or go to work. And obviously, we thought the whole COVID thing would blow over in a couple of weeks. And then that turned, a couple of weeks turned into a month, and month turned into so-and-so. And through that time, I got to really know how much I was not really loving myself, or in the area of how much shame I was punishing myself through that thing. And it got me to a place of suicidal thoughts and places of using all sorts of different type of coping mechanisms and whatnot that sent me on this spiritual and emotional journey for inner healing. And that last summer, thank God that he helped me through my stuff, that really weeded out the things that I was just subconsciously operating out of, and got healing inside of myself. And I look at the lockdown now as a blessing in disguise, because of the things that it did expose and the things that did actually work through. And I have to go through those areas of pain to actually get healing, because it exposed me of how much I was, like I said before, operating out of shame rather than a place of operating out of, or actually going to those places of pain and letting love really heal those areas that I needed healing in. And so I think looking in that area of just now, just keeping on my love to on myself. Now, do I still experience shame? Sure. But this area of that now have had some healing and some traction too of seeing, I guess, taking the blue pill of like, man, what is life like when you are in a place of acceptance and in love and in compassion towards myself? And that it's hard to go back and be the old person I was, because that man was not, and he wasn't alive. And so I think that place of being able to have the opportunity to be close with Ben and Brittany Serple, and somewhat close with Danny and Sherry Silk, of how their life message and their family has impacted my life, and given me strength to do the hard work and to see how valuable I am to contribute to others, and specifically just valuable just to know that as human to human, that we are more than enough, that we are worth it, and to break off those areas of guilt and shame and to receive love in those areas of pain. I just am excited to see where my life goes in a place of, and to operate out of those areas of love and worth it, and knowing what I have it takes, and going from there. So I hope that encourages to keep fighting the good fight, and to practically just in those areas, just to really love on yourself, that from the overflow of love, that others would be impacted as well. So whoever needs to hear that, hopefully that helps out. And thank you for listening.
Isaiah, he's a sweet guy.
He's a good boy.
He is.
Yeah.
He's been a friend of ours. He started and serving Ben in junior high ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Lainey was 2. She's 16 now, so he's been around a while. And we've seen all of what he's talked about, you know, the shame and just kind of this, you know, whatever goes for the flow. You know, not that that's bad, but they're just, he hasn't always had a fire in him to take good care of himself and mm-hmm. to love himself. And, you know, I think he's right in that this last year he kind of went on a journey to mm-hmm. figure out some stuff. And, you know, Ben has his message of passivity. And if you haven't listened to that, it's on his Instagram. You can go find it. But it really, I think, was some of that has been Isaiah's journey, mm-hmm. you know, of living powerfully and, you know, owning your junk and doing something about it and then getting healthy because, you know, a healthy single translates someday to hopefully a healthy family, you mm-hmm. know? And it's been fun to watch and to be an encourager, you know? It's always been a Isaiah's journey, and it's not been Ben and I's journey, but we've always been here to break off pieces of our life and give it away. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun to see him just be activated in a new way, for sure.
Yeah, as I listen to him, I think, wow, you know, a lot of people make this journey with a spouse and children.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's already hard enough to swim the channel. But let's put some, you know, some rocks in your bag and
yeah,
like, whoa,
that, a monkey on your backpack.
So many young couples, mm-hmm. you know, go through these kinds of experiences and don't have the skills really to synergize with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it ends up being a contest of whose needs are more important, and really a struggle to hang on to each other. But this is also part of the maturing process where you do learn that mm-hmm. because you have somebody. And so in a friend group, you know, like we were talking about earlier, this is where you trust communicating, where you reach out, where you ask for help, where you listen for feedback, you make adjustments, you mature in your pursuit of finding the joy in the Lord, which is your strength,
yeah.
finding His presence, which you know is a comfort. You know that you build with a friend circle. You know that this is what you do. Since you don't have a spouse who is maybe handling this well or not handling this well, mm-hmm. you do have, like he's saying, you know, I have you two, you know, Ben and Brittany, I have them as people that I would reach out to, communicate with, let them see me, trust their input, make adjustments. You know, that's good on you. You know, mm-hmm. Your success rate percentage just went up because you surrounded yourself with people that are ahead of you. You know, you've surrounded yourself with people that have matured in a lot of these areas and they have some real strength to give you. So I think that, you know, that speaks highly of Isaiah. And yet as he's talking, I'm thinking of all the people I know that are going through these things as married couples.
Yeah.
And it gets a little bloody.
Oh yeah. It gets real messy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think even Ben and I had our own version of loving ourselves and our own version of finding health. You know, we were really young when we got married. Obviously, we had the support of all of our parents. But getting married just reveals a whole nother level of things you need to work on,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I just remember Ben's own journey of becoming a powerful person next to me mm-hmm. and staying powerful next to me just because I was loud and crazy. You know, and I've the joke that we have now is confidence is sexy, you know, and that him really being who he's created to be, not finding or looking for joy from me, but from the Lord and his identity, all of that coming from the Lord makes him a confident human.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, when I look at Isaiah and just there's so many young men that I can think of that have been on this journey,
mm-hmm.
and it's so crucial for them to really continue to develop themselves so they're bringing something
mm-hmm.
To any young woman that is, you know, hopefully done the work as well, because
mm-hmm.
it'll be a lot smoother ride for sure. But it is, it's a powerful thing to see singles especially be willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
That is my favorite thing.
And keeping the, you know, the five keys intact, you know, like he's learning how to be powerful mm-hmm. over his own emotions.
Yeah.
Be powerful over his own belief structure. Mm-hmm. You know, he's learning how to choose love and to, you know, get rid of fear. He's pursuing connection with himself and with the Lord. I mean, yeah. These are all skills that when you bring this to another human being that you say you want to spend your life with, it's an absolute gift that you did all this work. It's an absolute gift of maturity that you're contributing to somebody else's tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and I just think even their environments that they're around, your work environment, mm-hmm. who you are as a powerful person that's activated in all these things shows up differently to a work environment, a friend community, mm-hmm. even your family, you know, mm-hmm. is a very different person than someone that lives passively or insecurely.
Or thinks that they're going to find someone that's going to put up with this garbage. You know, like, I had such a terrible thing, and doing such a terrible thing, I thought maybe you. I thought if I could just throw this all on you, that, you know, it would be easier for me. Like, that is so irresponsible, and it's cruel, really. Mm-hmm. Long term, it's just cruel that you didn't do the work of maturing, and you thought somebody else was going to do a better job with your life than you were.
Yeah, which is just that cycle of powerlessness, believing other people can.
Yeah, the crazy codependent circles that we get in, the triangulation stuff. I'm a victim. You rescue me. And then when you try, that feels controlling. Now you're a bad guy. And here we go.
Here we go again. Yeah. Oh, well, again, I think it's so great when singles are pursuing this journey of health, self-awareness. I mean, this is why I love all of our personality tests, because I just feel like it put in your face all of your stuff. You don't have to look at it, obviously, but I those are really helpful. The key principles are so helpful just mm-hmm. to take a temperature gauge of, wow, how am I doing here? Mm-hmm. What am I feeding myself? And that really is such a factor to how I'm living, is what am I feeding myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the self-awareness tools is a great way to help you learn to take responsibility for what you're contributing to mm-hmm. any relationship dynamic you have. Like, oh, I keep doing this, don't I? I'm sorry. I need a solution to that. It's me. I'm doing that thing again. I'll figure it out. You know, your patience would be appreciated.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so good.
Did I make a mess? Let me clean it up. I'm sorry.
Yep. All right, singles, keep getting healthy. Keep growing, keep doing all those things. We love it. And this is always fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, chase after that community that's just going to challenge you and do all healthy soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about this time.
Whole healthy singles.
Uh-huh.
We're going to change the world.
That's it. Yep. That's it. All right. Thanks so much for joining us on The Kylo Show.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about respectful communication and sharing the truth courageously. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, and Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. We'll see you next week.